the vision of who Jesus is. Some people have thought, you know, if I see Jesus, I'm going to walk up and shake his hand. No, you're going to be flat on your face. Because he's the holy, righteous Son of God and your Savior and your Lord. When they had taken the scroll, verse 8, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb in worship, each having a harp, which along with the trumpet is the only instrument allowed in temple worship, and is an instrument like the lyre, which has equal strings, so the harp, which has, right, Sherry, unequal strings. Your daughter is a great harpist. He had the harp and the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. We need to clarify one point. We're not saying here that those who are the saints of God and who are declared to be the 24 elders are suddenly those through whom we pray. There is a church that talks about praying to the saints. That is not what's being said here. They're not playing that kind of role. What they are doing is, in effect, presenting, displaying before God all of the hopes and all of the desires of those who are children of God. How many ages have gone by when this prayer has been uttered, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? And so the prayers of the saints, not to mention John's own prayer at the end of this revelation, when he says, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Look, that prayer. You know, a lot of us would like him to come mighty quick and get us out of this mess in his time. So the response then of those nearest to the throne is to fall down and worship him. And worshiping includes prayer and praise. Praise with the harp, and the prayers of the saints, of course, are both illustrated here in this particular passage. These are representatives of believers of all ages who are portrayed as praising God with their harps and as being agents representing the prayers of the saints, the golden bowls of incense, thy kingdom come. And they sang a new song in verse 9, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll. Remember back in chapter 4 of Revelation, when they said to the Father, verse 11 of chapter 4, you are worthy, O Lord, because you have created all things. Notice the same accolade, the same acknowledgement is given to the Son. You are worthy to take the scroll here in chapter 5 and verse 9. And to open its seals, for you were slain. You see, he was one of us. He died for us. And you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And by the way, I think this is further internal evidence that the church has been raptured and is in the presence of God, because we're talking about the redeemed being present and glorifying God for their redemption. It's universal. It's worldwide. Salvation is the gospel is to be preached to every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And he is saying that we have here today in the raptured church representatives of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made us kings and priests to our God. Look at verse 10. And we shall reign on the earth. A promise that those saints who have been glorified will return with the Lord Jesus and will reign with him, will serve him during that 1,000 years reign as kings and priests, as those who are leaders of nations and as those who will lead worship. So it is that the children of God will be at the right hand of the Lord Jesus as he comes to take up the throne of David here upon the earth. And then he notices, or hears rather, this chorus of angels, innumerable angels. And he says in verse 11, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. That's myriads of myriads. And thousands of thousands. That's kiliads of kiliads. So myriads of myriads, 10,000 times 10,000. Kiliads of kiliads, thousands of thousands. We won't turn there, but you could go back to the book of Ezekiel and you could see a similar picture portrayed before the throne of God of all the innumerable angels that are praising him. Satan may have gulled a third of the angels to follow him, but the two-thirds that were left break forth here in a chorus of praise, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain They themselves were not beneficiaries of that death. They were the angels who obeyed God and who followed God, and therefore they never fell, and they did not have to have or take advantage of the salvation that we must take advantage of because we are lost sinners. These angels never had that experience, and yet they are able to give praise to God because we have received the benefits of that ministry of the Lord Jesus. And that's what they do here. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain for humans to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength. All of these things, of course, implying the authority and the position of his investiture, and honor and glory and blessing. And these are the notes of praise. He has all the power, and he deserves all the praise. That's what is being said here in this text. Verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, remember they went looking in all these places for some unworthy, and such as are in the sea, it covers kind of the whole lot, and all that are in them, not leaving anything out here, I heard saying, blessing. Now it gets this chorus, not only are there thousands and thousands of angels, but every creature in the whole universe joins the chorus in the hearing of John, blessing and honor and glory and power, both the praise and the recognition of his position, be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and forever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And we say today, Amen. And the 24 elders, as they follow the lead of the four living creatures, fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and forever. We worship the eternal Son of God, who has granted to us eternal life, which shall never be taken away. We shall never perish, nor shall we go through the awful tribulation that's going to be described as the sun opens one seal after another. But that should not give us a complacency. That should not give us a sense that we don't have anything to do, or that, you know, we're safe, so what? But rather, it should give us a burden of heart. We don't want anyone to face the kind of judgment that we're going to be reading about subsequently. And that's why Jonathan Edwards, in his great sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, simply read passages about the judgment, one after another. And as they heard the passages and as they recognized what would face those who do not know Jesus as Savior, it says that the people in that little town of Enfield, Connecticut, began to shake and to quake and grab hold of the pillars of the church lest they fall into the abyss. Because the conviction of their sinfulness and of their lost condition and of their being under the judgment of God already so gripped them, they could not do anything but repent before it was too late. And that's conviction leading to repentance, leading to acceptance of Jesus, is what we should pray for every time we share the gospel with someone. Because the stakes are high. They're eternal. Let's go to the Lord in a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. We are like the 24 elders.